Welcome to A Millhouse Divided, episode 4F04, and it originally aired on December 1st, 1996. I am Bill Oakley, executive producer and showrunner.
I am Josh Weinstein, the other, same as Bill.
This is Steve Moore, the director.
I'm Steve Tompkins. I wrote the episode.
This is cartoonist Matt Groening.
And welcome. So this episode, well, you know what? Before we talk about the episode, I want to talk about Steve Tompkins a little bit. Steve Tompkins is here. This is the one episode that he has his name on, but he is the unsung hero of many episodes in season 8. Very funny man who came up with a lot of people's favorite routines, including the famous steel move routine in the Homer's Phobia episode. Been a friend of ours for a long, long time, and when we took over the show, getting Steve was one of our first priorities. Anyway, but he also amused us to no end in the room, probably like no one since Conan did. A lot of the material is not appropriate for family audiences. But
I'm glad that toned-down versions of my act have appeared intact in the program.
Oh, absolutely.
I like Stop the Planet of the Apes. I want to get off. It's probably a cleaned-up version of some other horrible act I performed.
Anyway, Steve is a very funny guy, and he has a ton of funny material in season 8 that he's not credited for. He also worked on The Critic and The PJs, which he created, and Bernie Mac, and met his wife on The Critic, Simpsons.
She had been working at The Simpsons, but yeah, we started going out when we both worked at The Critic, but we both passed through the mighty halls of The Simpsons. It was great. And, of course, I came over specifically because you two took over as executive producers, which is a big plus.
Yeah, pretty much, except we drove around in a... I just wanted to point out that previous sequence where you see The Simpsons eating on TV trays, that is our test for BG artists, too. They have to actually do that sequence, scenes from that sequence, to get hired on our show. So
learn to draw
TV trays, people.
Are they just given a script? Or
no, they're given a rough layout and an example of what they look like. And then they have to draw them. Wow. And it's hard. It's hard to do.
Now, I want to say this got a lot of censor notes, and I think we just ignored it. The Stoner's Pot Palace got some angry censor notes.
I would imagine that was the case. I have very dim memories of a lot of season 8 because we were under such a huge mountain of work from season 7 at the time that I don't have quite as many great anecdotes.
Yes. Now, this was done in the mid to late 90s when places like Williams-Sonoma were first coming in, becoming very popular. So, like, let's have The Simpsons visit a kitchenware store.
Yeah, we just go through the yellow pages and pick this to the hardware store, the candy convention, whatever. And then we just throw it in there and put it on TV. So that's what happened. Now, the substance of this episode, however, is about divorce. And I think I can't remember the specific genesis of it. Perhaps someone will jump in with that. But a lot of what we wanted to do in this season, more so in season 7, was tackle specific topics that were interesting, like Homer's opinion of homosexuality and divorce and also Homer's enemy and so forth. So in this case, we thought, who better to get divorced than the Van Houtens, you know?
Right, but also, I'll jump in on that, is one thing that we want to do is as you probably know, and if you like The Simpsons, you're the same way, is you're sick of old sitcom conventions where it's like, it looks like the main characters are going to get divorced, and you know by the end of the episode they're going to get back together. And we very consciously said, we want to have a couple, we want to explore the area of divorce and actually have some couple in The Simpsons actually get divorced and that they will stay divorced and it won't be a pat ending
right
for that. And that's why I think we chose, right? That's
yes, why we chose and this, I think, was the couple that was, other than the Lovejoys, probably the most developed of all the other parents. Also, Kirk, I mean, he came into his own during our era. I hesitate to take all the credit for Kirk, but I don't think he even had a name before season 7. And then it just sort of, and this episode was the one that just like, he cemented him. Like, he works at the cracker. We knew he worked at the cracker factory from a couple years ago. And now he's got a name, he has a job, and we find out the rest of his.
Well, also, Hank Azaria's performance.
I know. Him doing an impression of Pamela Hayden's Milhouse.
It's really
amazing.
Fun.
Also, this coming dinner party sequence is so.
I love it.
Because of huge bump, because of Hank's acting and Pam and Maggie's acting, it's so excruciatingly real and awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a little Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf here. And also, I remember the reason we wanted to do this, at least I think the reason I lobbied for it, was that War of the Simpsons from the second or third season. I love that first act where they have that dinner party and Homer's looking down Maude Flanders' shirt. And I just felt that it was about time that we do that again. But this time have like some real conflict. Now, Steve, tell us some of your stories about this episode.
I just love the fact that they would honestly believe they could entertain at an adult dinner party. It sort of cracks me up, but I admire them for trying. Of course, at the time, too, they're going to play a game here, Pictionary, which was quite popular way back when.
But he and Maude,
I love, they're so simpatico, but yep. No, it's cornstarch.
He's so happy with his, he's got a little curly chin.
Also, if you're interested, alum and saltpeter will also keep down the urges.
His drawing is so bad. I remember there were a couple designs for that. Like, it has to be completely incomprehensible. You can't, it can't look like anything. I like that he underlined it, too, to emphasize how wrong she was. We didn't all go to Gudger College,
that's right,
guys.
Gudger.
That is a made-up college, of course, that sounds kind of lousy.
This episode has so many delightfully real, but not things like Gudger and K-Zug.
I know. Everything about this episode is filled with delightfully crummy, realistic things, like all the cracker companies that we're just about to hear about. Webster's.
Well, it's no wonder I can't draw dignity. I gave it up when I married her.
I think for Kirk's design,
I love that that the parents look exactly like each other too, as well as.
Well, they shouldn't have got there inbreeding. That's why they shouldn't have.
Well, he shouldn't have married his sister.
You want to talk? Go ahead, Luann. Talk.
I think for Kirk's design, when he was drawing earlier, I closed my eyes and drew with my left hand and gave that to the designer. That was the prop.
That's good.
The one about how I carry a change purse. Yeah, a purse!
Shut up and let your woman talk!
Okay, Kirk, I'll tell a story. It's about a man whose father-in-law gave him a sweet job as manager of a cracker factory.
Boring!
A man whose father-in-law had business sense and managerial impotence.
Ooh, here we go.
Sent the number one cracker factory in town into a tie for six with Table Time and Allied Biscuit.
I think of, why does that have such a huge portion of my brain? Allied Biscuit and Table Time, I'm thinking about that all day long. And then my wife brought home these cookies for the baby that came from Table Time. And I'm like, they stole our name. They stole Table Time. We got legal lawyers have to be called. Also, what is Table Time anyway? It's time to put these on the table.
It's from an era where
it's like table talk pies, which of course were popular right
now. Well, talking at the table is more fun
but
than
there's
it's
never
time
been
for the
a
table
show with so many cracker company names.
I know.
As this episode,
I think that he worked at the cracker factory before we actually. That's from years ago. That's from the third or fourth season.
I think so.
But we expanded upon it. I remember in that one where they had the Take Your Son to Work Day, he had the cracker factory with the dog sled.
That's a door?
I felt so.
This is one of my favorite first acts of all time.
I felt so relieved that Homer is at that party because otherwise it'd be so upsetting.
He cuts the tension.
But this is also great because I always thought Milhouse seems to act a little weird, and it sort of explains he's coming from a troubled home.
I remember, Steve, I'm sure your parents had parties where they invited other couples over. It seems like the kind of thing that would be happening in Hamilton, Mass.
Oh, absolutely. And kids played upstairs in the coats.
And then there were adult discussions downstairs and music and whatnot. I remember that. And I remember it's one of those things that, it occupies a special place in your brain, but you don't really know what they're talking about or what the subtext was. It's weird.
I feel terrible. The Van Houtens split up at our party.
Started using Homer's glasses a lot at this time.
He uses them to read in bed, you know?
It's thoughtful.
His vision is getting faulty as he enters his 40s. And
Howard, no one likes to hear that after a nice meal.
I don't know how much we're using Marge's sleeping cap these days either.
Her sleeping cap. He's not reading Hot Lotto picks this time, though.
No.
He's reading the Bible or something.
Now, there's a deleted scene. I think there was probably a flashing button, push it. If not, push some buttons anyway. Because part of a story that there's a funny Homer dream sequence where he was upset about Bart. But part of a story that we didn't get to explore as much, and some we had, but we had to cut, was the whole aspect about Milhouse. And also a side story about Bart. When you're a kid and your parents aren't divorced, but you know kids who have divorced parents, it seems sort of very exciting to you as a kid that you have two sets of parents. And there are a couple of scenes that we actually wrote, that Steve wrote, that involve Bart being envious of Milhouse.
This is the first show we saw Kearney's kid in, too.
Kearney's kid. Right?
Yeah.
Kearney is over 30 at least.
Yeah.
But he's still in sixth grade, I guess.
We did a little makeover for Luann. We had
I love that fire
changed
effect.
Her hair.
How do you do that fire effect?
That particular one is a camera effect to make it glow like that. We don't always do that to make it look like fire, but we wanted to intensify the effect and create the shadows there. I remember I talked to you about possibly having Luann Hanna color her hair.
Yeah, I remember that. It sort of takes her out of the Milhouse. Oh.
Now, I just want to say about this apartment, there's something about this episode that's amazing. I only heard it. It's the sound in this episode is really great. In the very beginning of a scene, there's a bus, the sound of a bus going by the apartment.
And a car alarm.
And a car
and
alarm.
And a jackhammer.
Right. And it's like it really implies what type of apartment this is.
Boy, what's going on? Patio party?
Okay. All right. Coming up here again.
So sad.
Is that's Jerry. Isn't it? He's a big wheel down at the sewing store. Oh,
that's
my
right.
God. That's so good. Here.
Major player down at the sewing store.
Introducing me.
Oh, don't worry, Homer. You know me, and I'm a superstar at the Cracker Factory. You're letting me go?
Kirk, crackers are a family food. Happy families. Maybe single people eat crackers. We don't know. Frankly, we don't want to know. It's a market we can do without.
So that's it.
This is a speech that we have often quoted in the last 10 years.
I love that line. I don't recall saying good luck. Did you come up with that, Steve?
Gee, I don't know.
But anytime something bad happens, we say often say so long, good luck. Yes. I don't recall saying good luck.
So that's it? So long, good luck? I don't recall saying good luck. Damn, isn't that good?
God, I missed you, Lulu.
It's another character that we've used over the years.
She's got different shoes now, too. She's got slingbacks.
A whole new outfit for Luann. I think they subsequently did things with Chase / Pyro, and she's had other boyfriends since.
Really?
Go ahead, break a chair on me.
He was really holding her back. You know, there's no denying it. He sucked, Kirk Van Houten. Sorry, Kirk. We've all taken a little bit of pleasure in your downfall.
Now, there was some debate about... I'm really glad we did the sillier joke.
It is a little
because there was
silly,
some debate about
good.
It, but it's
that must have been so hard to animate.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was
animation.
Hard to animate, but I gave it to one of our best friends.
That scream is so good. That is a really sincere scream from Dan.
Right, and he suddenly pauses in the middle, too, because it's like, holy crap, what
a double
is
scream.
It?
Oh,
he's got a double scream where he realizes it hurts even more than he thought.
How did you animate that rolling thing, then?
You know what? I just gave it to a very good artist who is really, you know, some artists are very obsessive and they'll just draw things perfectly. And I gave it to the right guy, Ishtvan, who's been on our show probably since the first show.
I want you to meet my new special lady. Say hello to Starla.
Tress really knows how to
Starla's
do this voice.
Starla's the ultimate Tress voice.
Yeah, Tress character.
Starla's a temp at KZUG Radio.
Again, perfect. A perfect job. Perfect radio station name.
She threw out his demo tape.
The thing, especially in this scene, Kirk Van Houten really reminds me of Larry David.
Yeah, you know, he was years accent, before that, yeah. That really...
Before Larry David assumed that character.
That looks like Silverman drew that part. Was that Silverman or you?
Quite often, I'll just tell my artists, you know what? You want to draw it as if David was doing it, and they do it.
I want to offer a tidbit up for the trivia aficionados. There actually is an album called Can I Borrow a Feeling by someone named Cody Matherson, and it's in the biggest book of worst album covers ever by Nick DeFonso. And you've got to check this guy out.
Oh, my God.
Is it on iTunes?
I don't think so. But the song is original that we'll be hearing. But the title is borrowed from a recording hopeful.
But it's never going to happen to me.
Well, how do you know? What makes you guys so special?
Because Marge and I have one thing that can never be broken. A strong marriage built on a solid foundation of routine. Marge, I'm home. Where are you?
Maybe we should take a poll. Of the five people here, who thinks they would have liked this episode better if we had just made it all about Kirk and Luann and forgot this third act? I personally think that it's probably better with The Simpsons third act. But
you know,
Josh does not
agree. I've gone back and forth over the years, and I was thinking about it. And because we always wanted to return it back to The Simpsons and relate it. And I do think, I will say this, watching it again, I think this is a very sweet, nice story of Homer and Marge. And I think it really does work. But I always wondered, what if we had stuck a third act that was more still about dealing with a divorce and more like maybe about Bart and Lisa helping Milhouse or something? I always wondered.
Not that this isn't very funny, but entertaining, but anyone else care to jump in on this theoretical?
I think at the time we just didn't think that tertiary characters like the Van Houtens would really carry an audience's interest.
Yeah.
But the irony is, of course, by doing what we did with them in this episode, we produced characters who would carry an audience's interest.
True, very true.
So this was a little familiar, I thought, what happens in this story, but it has a very nice touch
that's,
to it.
That's the thing is, I think we really did, you did an excellent job of not making it like a standard.
Yeah, it was definitely well executed.
I always liked it because I just like how Homer kind of implodes on himself through suggestions. There's nothing really happening. He just kind of made it up.
Right. I think that it's definite. I think the possibility is that if we had stuck to the Van Houtens for Act 3, it would have been masturbatory. I don't know whether I can say that word on these commentaries, but I don't think it would have been necessary.
I think also people at the time would have gotten mad.
Yeah,
because it seems like, what? Where are the Simpsons? I want to see the fireworks factory. That's what
I think it's great, though, that there have been so many glimpses into their early marriage and honeymoon and that, but there's always new moments to find, like her pregnant by a truck stop with a Carvel cake, and it's just
The
so
first
rich.
Half of that was a flashback from a real old episode.
But that's how I love that you built on it.
You can
flashback.
Slice it, you know, finer and finer. Yeah. It's nice.
To a whale of a wife. I know, that's so awful. This is a really great performance by Dan, I think, too. And the hand acting is really good there, Steve.
That's watching it again is why I am glad that we did it with the Simpsons because this is.
I think it was the right decision.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. You got to have the Simpsons.
I flip flop.
That's the show. It's the thing.
He can barely even muster enthusiasm for that one.
I appreciate this, but I'd really like to get some sleep.
Oh, of course, my sweet. I'll just make some soothing ocean sounds for you.
I love that acting.
Arr, matey.
They should produce that for the next Simpsons album.
I always took it as Homer is kind of using sitcom acting as his model for how he's going to behave.
Yeah, that's a good explanation for it.
Yeah.
But it is because Marge is very realistic, though. She's to her, nothing is wrong,
right?
Which I like.
I also think, Steve, wasn't this like one of those things that was so much longer in the original draft? Didn't you have an outline that was like, would have been 150 pages?
Yeah, there was a lot more going on, especially with that Bart story you alluded to, I think, where Bart wanted them to divorce.
Right, because he was hoping, because he saw, like, oh, but Milhouse was getting spoiled, and he wished that would happen.
Marge deserves someone who will treat her right. Marge deserves a fresh start.
This part is a little hard to buy.
Yep.
That one guy can just walk into the marriage bureau and pay $8 to get a divorce with no judge or lawyer or even the other party even knowing.
It's those famous Springfield divorces.
Yeah,
people go to Springfield
State.
Usually the other person has to be aware that they're being divorced.
Surprise!
Surprise!
That is a thing. Despite that,
I'm back on track. I think I was a little off track during that haircutting part, but now I think I'm back. I'm invested again.
Well, she does get her dinner party, which she wanted to have at the beginning of the show.
Honey, I know you love me. We don't need to get married again.
Yes, we do. I got us a divorce this afternoon.
What?
I didn't want a hokey second wedding like those ones on TV.
There's Kirk. I love that Kirk is always having his tie loosened and shirt unbuttoned and to make him look extra dumpy these days.
Kirk and Luann.
We never will.
Dearly beloved.
Wait! I want one last chance to enjoy single life. Okay, ready.
I will now read the special vows which Homer has prepared for this occasion. Do you, Marge, take Homer in richness and in poorness?
We don't all have to listen to this. Say something. We already heard this part.
I remember the vows were a lot longer.
Yes.
I do remember that they went on and on.
And they did go on and on.
They did. Yeah. I think went on for like another half a page.
And then he says it doesn't matter.
You make me the luckiest guy in the world again.
I will. Oh, homie, of course I will.
Come on, you stupid.
Yeah. By the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife.
It's the most perfect way.
Interestingly, Homer did not really ask any of the kids to participate in the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, who likes the...
Is the old Larry Davis experience? That's, of course, True by Spandau Ballet, which is the wedding...
It's
evergreen.
Any special event through where people must dance, True is played.
Now, this is the part that we were alluding to where everybody, in almost any regular show, they'd be back together, no matter how unbelievable.
Hi, everybody. Hi. And hit it! Can I borrow a...
Is it the worst singing voice in the world?
Well, it matches the lyrics. It's my favorite song in the Simpsons history.
The glove of love. I remember that.
Need some healing. Take my hand with your glove of love.
Okay, this would be the moment in any crummy sitcom where she would go, yes.
Luann, will you marry me again?
Ooh, no.
Oh, well... can I have my shirts back at least?
Okay, you heard the lady. Why
don't you... That's so bad.
Now, these are the saddest ending lines.
Probably.
That's it.
I love that he can't even get the word out. He is probably.
Wasn't there going to be somebody big kind of singing a version of Can I Borrow a Feeling?
Like over the end credits?
Over the end credits. You had mentioned that.
Yeah, I think we did try to get that.
I remember at the time you mentioned that it was someone who was big at the time.
Yeah, like Barry Manilow would have been good.
It was a female singer. Singstress.
I can't remember
who it was. It was somebody who would have been...
Madonna?
No, it wasn't Madonna. Not that big.
Well, nonetheless...
Oh, it might have been... I think it was going to be like someone like Sheryl Crow.
It was Sheryl Crow. Yeah. You said we're going to try to get her anyway.
We're going to get Sheryl Crow.
And I believed it.
Are you kidding?
I'm still waiting for you to get her.
Maybe for the DVDs.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the DVDs. Never going to happen then. Forget it.
We'll get her. Probably.
Probably.
Probably.